Hey all, there is mention of abortion and voodoo in this episode. Please be advised. Before we begin the last episode of Spirit Bound Season 1, I would like to thank all the listeners for joining this journey as we cycle through history, memories, pain, devotion, trauma, and now spiritual uplifting. I am joined with Amanda Blair, who is a spiritual and wellness coach that has found her own path and encouraged others to do the same. As she shares her journey of how she has overcome obstacles to become spiritual, we learn how spirituality impacts all of us. When people think of spirituality and like having these belief systems, they always equate it to religions. I feel like, and not necessarily just like their own choice or not realizing that it stems from somewhere. It comes from traditions that we know or that we hear, like the unlucky 13, or, you know, throwing a coin and wishing well. And these have formed into practices that we know now. And also with these practices comes with like events that are positive and not so positive, and just wanting to explore that with you and get your mind on it and how you feel about ringing a bell that is a tradition in spirituality itself, or simply yoga can be seen as spiritual, and how do you feel about those things?
Absolutely. So I'm Amanda. I am a spiritual life coach. So something that I'm very passionate about. And I was raised very religious. So I was raised in a Roman Catholic family, baptized. I went through the whole process of going through the church. I went to a Roman Catholic school growing up all the way through high school. So I was very much raised in a religious family. And God, religion was always something that I had kind of turned to as I grew up and as I got older. But when I was in my late 20s, I had gone through a complete shock of an experience where I found out I was pregnant, ended up having an abortion. And in those moments, the judgment that came from the church, from the religion, from the people that were supposed to, you know, hold you gently and walk you through these kinds of things and be there as a safe space for you, they really weren't. It's to the point where here in Canada, you can't drive down a highway without seeing a pro-life billboard or something like that, or something of the nature. Of course, there's a lot of pro-choice here, but you've got that as well. And it's often stemming from God, religion, Jesus, all of that. And so for me, when I went through that experience, I really found that spirituality, the biggest difference, I guess, that I could say that led me onto a more spiritual path was that spirituality is more about yourself. It's more about who you are as a person, what your purpose is here on earth. And not to say that we don't believe in a creator or spirit or all of that, because we very much do. We believe in a higher power. We don't know if that's necessarily a man in the sky that we pray to, but we very much believe in a higher power. But it's very much an inside job. And with that being said, it's about connection and connecting to the bigger picture and realizing that we're connected to every person, every plant, every being on the planet, as opposed to a community within a religion where what I found was very much about this is the way it is and anything else is incorrect. It's wrong. And you have to do it this way because this is what the Bible says. Whereas with spirituality, it's more of the do what you think is best for yourself, but cast no judgment on anybody else. It's not for you to judge. And as opposed to God being the judge, we go to heaven, we go to hell. It's more of a karma takes care of it. The universal law of karma, right?
Right.
In a nutshell, I guess, kind of that's a bit of my experience. And so that's what led me towards spiritual life coaching, was because there's a lot of taboos around it. And there's a lot of, you know, well, we use crystals and we use candles and all of this stuff. And yeah, of course we do, but there's a reason behind it. And it's that connectedness. So, I mean, we can dive into that. Of course, I would love to, but it's not, you know, sitting around a circle, holding hands, singing chants. And some people do that, but that's not what it's about, or, you know, the voodoo dolls or the dark magic, so to speak, that comes with the idea of spirituality. It's a very accepting, very accepting, very warm, very welcoming, and very personal journey.
I absolutely agree with you, and it comes with all these superstitions as well, and like they stem from these traditions. And especially when I tell people I meditate, it's like, you know, the first thing I get is like the typical like, oh, so you want to be a Buddhist? And it's like, no, this is just my form of clarity. You know, this is my form of relief from life stresses. And how come I can't just meditate? How come it has to be equated to like a religious faith? How come I can't just be? And people always equate that to like Buddhism, you know, or are you converting? Like, is this an issue? And it's like, no, I'm not converting. This is who I am. This is what I breathe into. Like, I do silver practices and adapt it from the church, from what I've learned, and I'm still exploring. Like, yes, I'm a person that, you know, is interested in crystals and is learning about crystals. Yes, I'm a person that loves incense, and because it makes me feel relaxed and peace and brings that harmony back into my life. And it's not me just, you know, believing like, oh, I'm gonna light an incense and all my dreams are going to come true. Like, it's not that simple. And this is really a good conversation to have because it's more than that. And of course, you're always going to get those people that equate spirituality to what they've seen on TV about New Orleans. You know, New Orleans is like the hot spot for all things voodoo, or like people equate that to it, to that culture. And, you know, or they take it back to like times in Africa and to religious groups in Africa, and they say like, oh, they do this or they are cult-like. And it's like everyone has a right to their own beliefs and traditions and what they want to do. But it's like you can't just simplify it or put it in a box because spirituality in itself is complex. And I really want to get into the
Very.
fact of how people view just simply water. And like water is like spring of life. It gives you abundance. And this is what people are saying all over. Or if you manifest the correct way, then you get everything that you want if you just have this belief. But it goes a little bit deeper than that. And I would love for you to share your thoughts on that.
Absolutely. I love, first of all, that you mentioned meditation, because there's such a stigma or some kind of negative connotation to people who don't understand. What I can say about that is meditation isn't always necessarily sitting on a pillow with your eyes closed, you know, making noises or whatever. Meditation can be as simple as being completely present in the moment. So for me, I have a hard time sitting still. So when I'm walking my dogs, I'll walk through a field and I'm completely present. My mind is clear. I'm not, it's just me in that moment, no past, no future, just the present moment. So people meditate and don't even realize that they're doing it. And it's just in those moments where you're with yourself and you are just totally clear. You're not worried, you're not anxious, none of that. I totally agree that there's a lot, you know, people think New Orleans or, you know, African culture, things like that, and there is certainly an element to it. And oracle cards and tarot cards is another thing that freak people out. I love my oracle and my tarot cards, and I'm not sitting here, you know, with a witch hat on or whatever else, but things like that are seen as tools for us. So we use those as guidance, and it's kind of like a take with it what you will. The interesting thing about manifestation and the law of attraction, this is a big hot topic and it's very trendy. People are talking about, you know, how do I manifest? How can I win the lottery? And especially with that movie, The Secret, that came out, right? It brought a lot of that to the forefront. There was a concept that I heard recently. So living in alignment is what spirituality is about. And so when I say alignment, I mean trusting your intuition. And your intuition is that inner knowing that we all have, that gut feeling that people often talk about. So they'll say, you know, I've got a gut feeling that this isn't good, or I just got a bad feeling about this. I shouldn't trust it. That's your intuition talking to you. So as people who are tapped into spirituality, we know that that's our intuition. And so our aim is to follow that. And the more that we follow that and we trust that inner voice and that inner knowing, and the more that we are living our soul's purpose, the more in alignment that we get. And so when we say with alignment, we mean alignment with the mission that we came here to do. We all believe that we are here for a higher purpose. We're not here to, you know, work our 9 to 5, and, make money, eat food, and then die, and that's it. We're here for a purpose. We're here to make the world a better place in some way. And for people who, are spiritual, we believe that that's being of service. So, however we can best serve people and uplift the overall energy of the world to make it a better, happier place, that's what we're here for. So, back to the concept of manifestation was that it's not so much about manifesting and it's not so much about sitting there and thinking about something and trying to bring it into your life. It's the more that you get into alignment with your purpose and with your mission here on life. And so, living and breathing your passions and doing all of that, the more that you are able to bring things to you, not because you're manifesting it or because you're attracting it to yourself, but because you're getting into alignment and that's the way it's supposed to be, so to speak. That kind of makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense for me, but someone can really argue that you're just believing or you're just blowing air because it goes back into the
That's right.
1850s about spiritualism. And it started with a family called it's called the Fox Sister story, and how basically they heard knocking on the walls, and they were in New York, and how their family heard it, and they were talking to a spirit, basically. And it goes down until like the mother comes out and says, like, actually, this is not real. We were just making the knocking sounds up. And then she recanted that statement like 20 years later after she came out with that statement and went back to say, like, this is real. Spiritualism is real. So spiritualism has been around for a long time. It's probably even further back than this of what I just mentioned, the 1850s. But spiritualistic practices, like when you use water or like the four elements, water, air, fire, and wind, there's a lot of traditions and implementations of that as well. And like you can even do a modern day about it when you talk about bonfire nights and how people imagine bonfire nights is coming. Like it's a cool thing now, but traditionally those bonfires were releasing all your negativity out, and you do it at a certain time at night to let it go and whatnot. But now it's become like, oh, let's make s'mores. So it's just, again, like we're still using these traditions, whether we want to admit it or not, and is actually in more of our daily practices than we realize. So, how do you come back with naysayers about spiritualism or say that it's like, quote unquote, the devil's work because you did come from that church background of Roman Catholic Church?
A friend of mine put it to me beautifully when this was something that I had first started exploring and getting into. And I said, it's crazy. And I was talking about my intuition and, things I was feeling. And I said, it's so crazy because I've got no proof of this, but this is just, I know. And she said, spirituality and this path that you are on, you may not have the physical proof in front of you, but it is the realest thing that you will ever experience in the sense of the feelings, in the sense of just that inner knowing that you have. And so that to me is really interesting to say that it's the realest thing that you will ever experience. We live in a world where we want proof. We want science to back everything. We want proof, but that's what spirituality is. It's if you believe in it, then it works for you. But if you don't believe in it, then no, of course it wouldn't work. And there's going to be doubts. There's times where I doubt it. Of course, how could you not? But when you stay true to it, and as you start to see things coming towards you, that's when you become a believer. It's those unexplained things. And some people need to kind of hit that rock bottom, so to speak, or that place where they've run out of answers with when it comes to science and all of that before they think, okay, maybe let me turn to this. Maybe let's just see. Let's just see if there's something to it, right? To all of this holistic practices and spirituality.
I definitely agree because I have been rock bottom and I never knew how I was going to get out of it. And every rock bottom situation I've been in my lifetime, I can't explain how I got out of it. I could just say that I was full of abundance and I got so many blessings from that rock bottom moment. And now it's to the point that, like, even at my lowest of lows, it's like, I'm fine. I'm good. It's okay. Like, I have this belief in no matter when I do an unexpected change, or I always say, I don't have a plan for this, but it's going to work out. It's going to work out in its own time. And like, this is the time that I think is going to go up because I have a feeling for it. People look at me like I'm crazy. Like, how do you not have a plan? Because we're so plan oriented and we're so like, in order to do this, I need to do this. In order to do this, I need to do this. And now I'm walking in my truth. Like, you can have a general picture of what you want, but you're not going to always have the little bitty details of what how you're going to get it. And when you let that go and just really practice and believe that you can achieve it and not know and not see how it's going to be achieved in that moment, then you open so many more opportunities for yourself and more than you can imagine. And your wants can become bigger in that because your belief grows and your practice grows and whatnot. I do want to touch on something that you mentioned. How was it for you to transition from being a believer of the Roman Catholic Church to becoming spiritual in that journey for you? Was it hard? Were you shunned from the church, if you're comfortable sharing that?
I wouldn't say it was a shunning, but my transition I found to be quite easy. And the reason why I say that is because it was such an inward journey. I wasn't looking for answers outside of myself. And that is the start of it. I wasn't turning to God, God help me, show me the way. It was like, I need to figure out what works for me. And I feel disconnected from myself. And how do I get back there? I realized that for a lot of people, it would probably be challenging, and there might be, family who don't understand, friends who don't understand. I was blessed to have people come into my life at the exact time that I needed it, who were incredibly supportive. What's wild is that since all of this has happened, my mom has actually even said to me, had you been on this path 10, 15 years ago, I would have thought you were crazy. But as she has also moved along in her journey, I've been able to help her, and she's been so much more open to it, which is great. I also live 2,000 kilometers away from my family. I moved away from home when I was young in my early 20s. So I haven't lived around my main support system. Had I lived around them and had they been there to give me their opinion, I don't know that I would be where I was today. I very much had to disconnect myself from all of that in order to be able to move forward. Because the one thing I will say in my experience is that I have never met a more judgmental person than the people that go sit in those pews every Sunday. And they go there, and that's great. You believe in your faith, and you go, and I have nothing against the church. To be honest, that's my roots. I've got the Lord's Prayer tattooed on my back. I still want to go to church on Christmas Eve just to celebrate and to take part in that ritual because it's very much my roots and I'm grateful for it. But those people, not all of them, some of those people that go there are so judgmental and so it's our way or there's no way. And you think about a lot of the wars that have been waged in the world that have been major. You think even back to the Holocaust and that kind of thing, it's all been based around religion. And how awful that that's how the world is. We've got a whole Muslim religion that is being discriminated against heavily because of some of what the extremists have done. You look at the history of the Catholic Church and it's just littered with terrible things that have happened. That doesn't mean that these people and these religions are terrible, but religion is, it creates separation between people. And it creates the idea of, even if you look back in England where you had the two different, you're still in the Christian religions, but you very much got two different Christian religions going at one another and fighting. Spirituality is just about oneness. You take care of you, I take care of me, we take care of each other. It doesn't matter what we believe in, it doesn't matter what we do, as long as we are kind to one another. And every religion has, I shouldn't say every, I'm not well versed in every religion, but most religions have the, do unto thy neighbor as you would want done to thyself, or be kind to one another is somewhere in there. But at the same time, it's be kind to one another if you're part of this group. If you're not part of this group, then you better get in this wagon here, or we have a problem. And I guess to kind of answer your question, was it hard for me? No, it wasn't. But it was also because I was so far removed and I had detached myself. I had kind of set it in motion years before without even realizing. I can appreciate for some people that it would be really difficult, especially if you are raised in a very devout religious household, community, whatever the case may be. You want to be included. You want that sense of inclusion. But at the same time, what spiritual people believe is that we are so deeply loved by spirit, which we will call it spirit, the universe. We won't necessarily say God. Some of us will. The universe and spirit, we are so deeply loved by them, and we are moved to move on to this mission to create oneness and to get away from that separatist movement that has been so present.
Do you believe that the by separating with the religions, because there's so many religions in the world now that it has become very westernized. And before westernization has taken over the world, essentially, do you believe with that it has caused more harm than good to really just promote that inner peace and like really exploring spirituality?
Yeah, I think so. And I think that people really want a sense of belonging. People really want to feel like they're a part of something. And religion can create that. Religion is one of the things that can create that. There are many things that create a sense of belonging, but that being one of them. And so it's a community that people can turn to. But with spirituality, you still have that community. It's kind of different. So for me, when I feel disconnected, when I really need to get back to myself, when I'm really struggling with something, I go sit outside and I connect with nature because that is the oneness. That's what we are a part of. That is my church, so to speak, is, sitting by a river or by a lake or water or going for a walk. And I live in the beautiful Canadian Rocky Mountains, going for a hike in the mountains, which are just beautiful and breathtaking. It's taking in and becoming one with again and slowing my mind down. I do feel that, yeah, it has created some negativity because it creates a you versus me kind of thing.
What would be your advice for people who are simply don't know how to feel about leaving the church, or if the church is right for them, or if they're in this sense of trying to find themselves and they don't know which route to take to either jump on the spirituality like journey or to stay within themselves, or like how do you encourage them to just really find themselves?
Just sit with yourself. Honestly, just sit with yourself. The answers will come if you listen. Everything that we need, I truly believe this, is inside of ourselves. When we're talking to people, and sometimes we need to talk things through, we don't need validation from someone else to say, yes, you should do that, or no, you shouldn't. You already know what feels right for you. So listen to what feels good. And not to say, hey, get into spirituality and leave it behind. Like I said, I still very much appreciate the Roman Catholic roots that I came from. I still, like I said, church on the holidays, I still like to partake in that kind of stuff. And I've got nothing bad against the religion and the foundation of religion as a whole. It just to follow all of those practices and all of those beliefs, they don't all align with me. And so start small. Just look at small things, read a book, listen to a podcast, take some information in on the internet. We live in a world where we are blessed. Everything is literally one click away. You can find out anything you want. So start small and find out what feels good to you. Because even in spirituality, there's a lot of practices, a lot of modalities that don't work for some people, but work for others, but it's okay. So I take what works for me, and that's what I use. And somebody else might take something completely different. And that's okay. We still get along. We still like each other. There's nothing wrong with it. So, anyone that's wanting to get started, just start small. It doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be grandiose. It doesn't have to be this announcement that, hey, I'm no longer identifying as whatever religion I've been raised as. You can very much still identify as that for sure, but you can incorporate things into your life that make you feel good, that make you feel better, that make you feel more at peace, more calm, whatever it is that you're looking for, any of those positive emotions that you want to feel. That's what I would say.
Thank you for sharing that. And let's go into more of the negative aspects of spirituality from a general aspect view. Growing up, I was raised in a church as well. I went to a private Baptist school, a Catholic private school. Like, my whole background is religion, Christian faith heavy. And one member of a Christian faith as well has told me that it is the devil's work if you believe in witchcraft or black magic. How do you deal with those comments? Because for one, it's not a full picture. They have made black magic and witchcraft a negative thing. I'm not saying black magic is not bad, but some people view black magic in a good way, and obviously there is different elements of witchcraft as well. So what is your advice and opinion on that?
First, when someone says that to me, who are you to judge me? What am I doing that is affecting you? Like, how does me doing this, that, or the other thing, how does that affect you and impact your life? If it's somebody who's religious, okay, but isn't most religions, isn't it that only God can judge or only the highest power can judge? So why are you going against your own faith in judging someone else? It's not for you to, because even if you do believe in God, which maybe it's a real thing, we'll find out when we die. But even if you do believe in God, then you believe that only he can judge. And so you are now going against what he's doing. Are you not sinning then for casting judgment on me? So that's kind of how I look at it that way. And the other thing is, when someone is judging someone for what they're doing, it's a reflection of something that they're insecure about often. So are you fearful of what I'm doing? Do you not have the knowledge? Would you like me to explain it to you? What questions do you have? What is it that triggers you that makes you feel that this is negative? Let's talk about that. That's how I approach it.
Yeah, and so like how do you feel about people categorizing again voodooism, witchcraft into a box with spiritualism, because spiritualism is very, very broad. You could take so many roads with it. But oftentimes when you
100%.
say
Absolutely.
you're a spiritualist, they automatically think witchcraft, or they automatically think, oh, you do some type of magic, or you're a typical tarot reader, or all these things, but they don't. And this is just the only things that I know is, but it has become very more seen on social media as well. You have plenty of podcasts coming out saying, like, this is the right way to manifest it. This is the right way you need to go into spirituality. And for me, there isn't a right way. And how do you deal with all these views? And especially being on your platform and being outspoken about your story, is like, surely you get all these types of questions.
First of all, what you say about there is no right way, you're 100% right. There is no right way. As long as it feels good for you, as long as it makes you feel peaceful, that's how you know it's the right way for you. So there is no right way. How I deal with it, honestly, and I think that most spiritual people will tell you this, you just let it go. It doesn't matter. Someone is always going to have something negative to say, always. And you don't pay attention to it. You can't, because it doesn't matter. I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and that makes me happy. And you get to a point where that sense of belonging that you feel in the Catholic Church, for example, and I'm using the Catholic Church because I grew up on. I'm not trying to dump on them by any means. It's just the narrative that I can relate to the best. That sense of belonging where you have to do this or you can't come to church or whatever that case may be. With spirituality, it's not like that. If that works for you, then do that. As long as you're not hurting anyone, as long as you're not doing anything negative towards anybody else, then go ahead and do it. And so you get to a point where it doesn't matter what other people say, because you know that you're living your truth and you know that you're honoring yourself and you know that you feel good. So what somebody else has to say, it truly doesn't matter. You're entitled to your opinion. I love having discussions with people about it. But at the end of the day, if someone's going to be rude and negative towards me, I don't have time for it. And I don't need you to like me because I like me. You know what I mean? I'm not looking to fill a void. I'm not looking for validation from anybody else. And that sense of belonging, I have that with myself and the network of people that you start to meet as you get into this. But even still, when you are so at peace with yourself and when you know that you are doing what is for your higher purpose, it doesn't matter, because you don't feel that sense of disconnect because you're so connected within yourself, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does. And I feel like when it comes to just really exploring spirituality as a whole, it's the fear of the unknown that really trumps
For
people. And
sure.
they always try to equate it to something, to a tangible thing, because you don't see it. You have said it, it's in your gut, you feel it, it's your own intuition, and it grows as you practice it more. And so, what ways do you grow your intuition?
So we've got five levels of self. We've got our self-perception and our self-worth. We've got our mental health, our emotional well-being. We've got our physical body, and then we've got our spiritual health. And so what I found is that when you are taking care of yourself in all of those aspects, so when I say self-perception, self-worth, you're talking to yourself kindly, you love yourself, you're not you know, saying, oh, I look so fat in this, or I wish I had a body like that, or, you know, you're very kind to yourself, or even when you don't have shame for things that you've done. And we're all human, we all feel those emotions. But when you can love yourself, forgive yourself, and show yourself grace. So that's number one. Mental health, of course, we know what that is. That's keeping our minds clear, keeping our minds right. And it does tie into our self-talk as well. Then we've got our emotional health, which if we're super angry all the time or super sad all the time, we've got things that we need to work through. So we want to be more on a level happiness, or at least a neutral ground. Then we've got, of course, our physical body. So eating properly, getting exercise. And exercise, I'm not saying go to a gym, lift weight. I'm saying go for a walk. Just keep your physical body healthy. And then we've got our spiritual health, which can tie in. We've talked about so many different things already, and there's still so many more, but just practicing some of those spiritual things like the meditation. And if meditation is too wild for some people, go for a walk and just be with yourself. Go for a drive, listen to music, and just be totally there with just yourself. When you start taking care of all those five levels of yourself, that is where you start to really get connected. Of course, listening to your intuition is a big one. Another thing, too, I find is if you ask for signs. So a lot of spiritual people will tell you that they've got signs that they feel they get when they're on the right path. It can be a number, it can be an animal, it can be whatever resonates to you, whatever is something that works for you, and that'll show you that you're on the right path. And that's also how some people develop their intuition. So, for example, owls is a big one for me, and it ties into my grandmother who's now passed. But when I see an owl or a bluebird, I know that I am on the right path. So, for example, recently I was considering a big move, and I was like, I don't know if this feels right. I need a sign. Like, give me something. And so the day that I was looking at some places, I was like, if this is the right move, like if this is the journey I'm supposed to be on, show me an owl. Like, give me an owl somewhere. And the last place on my list that day was to stop at a friend's house. And so I had never actually been in this friend's house. As soon as I walked in, I saw an owl in a snow globe, and I pointed it out to her. I said, oh, there's an owl in there. And she's like, oh yeah, whatever. She didn't think anything of it. She's not a person who collects owls. She doesn't relate to it. But for me, for that to be the last stop on my day, and for that to be something that I see, I take that as a sign that you're doing the right thing. Keep going. It'll come to you. You know, it can be numbers. One of my girlfriends, she was just saying the other day that sevens really resonate to her. So when she's in the right direction, she asks to see multiple sevens. So two sevens in a row, or three sevens in a row, something like that. So doing those little practices can really help strengthen your intuition, because especially if you know, or if you truly feel like you're doing the right thing, but we all have self-doubt and we all question ourselves, asking for those little signs can sometimes really help you really tune into yourself.
I definitely agree. And it actually goes back to superstitions as well, because, you know, the typical superstition of like, don't step on a crack, you're going to break your mom's back. Or if your palm is itching, you're going to have some money coming through. If you see a red cardinal, that means an angel is watching over you. And it is crazy because people believe superstitions and they can have any religious faith belief or into spirituality, and they believe those 100%. But when you talk about spirituality and being with yourself, then it's like very, very problematic. It's like, oh, I don't believe in that. But it's like, you already do believe in spirituality. I believe this might be a controversial statement, but I truly believe that even if you are a Christian or a Catholic, Protestant, Lutheran, Baptist, whatever, or even Hindu or Sikh or Buddhist, you are a part of spirituality. And I say that because of the belief and practices that those particular religions I just mentioned have, and it does equate to water. Like when you're being baptized, you get dipped in water. When you play at certain churches, they play bells. Bells is also very spiritual. It's the ring, it's the chime, and it's a frequency of giving you that certain euphoric feeling of bringing yourself back to one. So if you kind of look at where religion is, it comes from spirituality. If you want to like believe that, and spirituality is like, for me, an originator. It has branched into religions. It has branched into what we know now, and is becoming monetized and everything. But the difference between spirituality and the religious faith that we have seen growing up is that spirituality, there is no money. There is no money making for the ones who truly, truly practice it. I definitely believe that spirituality is the originator of all these things that we know and has come to be. And the difference is, like, there's no monetization. Like, yes, there's people that like makes money off of manifestation. Like, let me teach you, let me coach you how to manifest. But to truly be a spiritualist is that deep connection that so little people have, but so many people can monetize off of it.
I, as you're talking, I'm thinking back to, if you think about indigenous cultures. So if you think back to the indigenous peoples of the Americas before Western culture came over, you think back to ancient Egyptian times, and ancient cultures, and even the ancient Greek, the ancient Romans, they all had some form of spirituality. And so you're right that it does all come from somewhere, like we, whether or not we want, there is like water and fire, you've mentioned a few times being a big one. You know, the indigenous people talking about the gods of, you know, the four directions and whatever the case may be. So it's very much something that has been present as long as humans have existed. I think that we've had this inner knowing, that intuition, that there's something bigger than us that exists out there. And so religion does 100% monetize it, I think, in a sense. You know, you think you go to church and you're asked to donate money, but then you've got people who can't even necessarily afford to put food on their own table, but there's a collection plate being handed around. And then if you don't put money in that, you almost feel judged for it. Like, well, how come you're not putting money in the plate at church? And there's a lot of things, like, you know, there's a lot of religious things that you want to buy to be a part of. I think of, you know, having a rosary around your neck, but even a rosary, you think to some of the spiritual things that we have, and we've got beaded necklaces that we use to say our affirmations, or, you know, our prayers to the universe, the spirits that we believe in. So there is an element of it where it's a business. For sure it is. It wouldn't exist if we didn't put money into it.
I definitely agree with that. And it's just very difficult to wrap your mind about when you get to a point in your life where, religion is just not just religion. Like, it stems from somewhere. Spiritualism stems from somewhere. And I feel like when you start to admit to yourself that religion is just not its own thing, like, it just didn't appear from where, and it's just not the beginning of the Adam and Eve story, and it, like, it's completely bigger than that. It started with a higher power creating us and creating our well-being, whether that is, if you believe in God, then you do. If you believe it's just like the universe created itself, then you do. But essentially, it's like the spirituality exploration time started before all of us, but it has extended itself to so many cultures and so many adaptations of spirituality. And I feel like now it has become such a popular topic because it's throughout our digital face. Like, it's through social media, it's through, like, when we talk about it on the news, actions are happening all the time with this type of group rioting or protesting for peace, or this type of group going against this news agenda because it's so morally wrong, or even climate activists. It's all a part of this activism and belief in oneself. But I think the biggest problem when it comes to spirituality is that it's the fear. It's the fear. And I feel like when people follow a certain path and they are staying in their comfort zone and not willing to push themselves or willing to grow themselves into who they're supposed to be, it's because of the fear of it all. And it's very unstable and they can't really comprehend it. So it makes them say those negative things like, oh, why are you doing that? Or do you want to be a witch now? Or all these quote unquote negative connotations. But essentially, it's because you are fearful. You're fearing me. But it's like, I'm not doing anything to be fearful to you. I'm not trying to cast a spell or wish death upon you. And if you're around people who are like that, then you should remove yourself completely.
Absolutely. What I can say that nobody can deny is that when you are a good person and when you do good, you feel good. And we all make mistakes. We don't always do the right thing. But when you are kind to other people, that feels good. And when you are happy, when you are not You don't have elevated emotions of sadness or anger, and those happens, but you feel better. You feel more at peace. When you go and you connect outside, you know, the seven wonders of the world, or you go and see beautiful things in beautiful places, you feel more connected. You go outside, you look at the stars, and most people, 9 times out of 10, will look up in awe and wonder. And so you can't deny that those things make you feel good. And that's kind of a start to spirituality, if nothing else, because that is the first sense of, and even religion, you know, before there was that strict religion, somewhere along the way, someone looked up or looked around and said, we are all connected. We know we call nature Mother Nature. So that's just the way it is. And so, I mean, you can deny it if you want to be argumentative. But you know what I mean? Most people would say that those are just truths. And it's as simple as that to get started with it, for people to kind of open their mind. And, you know, like you've said, there's a fear around it, but a fear of the unknown, because you're not being told what to do. With spirituality, you're not being said, you do A, B, C, and D, and you're going to have X result. You're being told, explore it, see what comes of it. No one says that you have to go through these sacraments and then this is what happens. You go to heaven at the end. It's just a go explore, go see what feels good to you. If you want to pick up some tarot cards, pick up some tarot cards. If you want to pick up some crystals, get your crystals. If you want to go stand barefoot somewhere, go stand barefoot somewhere. Like I do, I go for a barefoot walk almost every day. And I swear people think I'm nuts because I'm walking. I've got my sandals in my hand just in case I need them, but it helps me feel grounded and centered. And if that works for you, awesome. Just go explore it and see what feels good. You know, if you believe in saging yourself to clear negative energy, or incense to alter your mood, or whatever that is, that's the fear that people have, is they don't know what steps they need to take and what end result they're going to get. But what I can promise you is the only end result that you will get from exploring is figuring out what works for you and what doesn't work for you. That's all. It's that simple.
It is true. And, you know, I even know people who believe in astrology with the zodiac signs and their signs and how, like, this season they're going to be true in abundance or this season they may face some turmoil. And people really take that to heart. And that's one route that has become very popular nowadays due to the fact of social media again and influences and people who are calling themselves the spiritual gurus, but then they charge so much money. I have seen people who said they are spiritual gurus that can read you and that does astrology zodiac signs and doesn't understands it, but then they're making, like, not kidding, like 15,000. Do you think when spiritual gurus do those kind of things, you think they're taking advantage of the people?
Absolutely. And I think that it's those people that put a really negative spin on it. So in that movie, The Princess and the Frog, that Disney movie, there's a scene where they're doing a tarot card reading and they don't resonate with what is being said to them. And it's like, well, that'll be a crazy amount of money. I can't remember the number that was thrown out there, but it's like, really, for that much? And you get people that you do get your card readers, your tarot readers, and people like that who will do stuff like that and take advantage to a point. And that's why people think, oh, that's, you know, bullshit, for lack of a better word, because it just seems like a money gouge. Like, hey, I'm going to tell you your future, but pay me X amount of dollars. People who are spiritual, I mean, everybody has to make a living. So somebody who dedicates themselves to spirituality, they do have to make a living. That's just the way our world works. And there has to be an exchange of some kind. And unfortunately, the world we live in, it's usually monetary. But those people also aren't going to price gouge you. And what I would suggest for somebody who's wanting to see a spiritual teacher or a guru, or just to learn a little bit more, is to do your research. Because unfortunately, like with anything, not just with spirituality, with anything, there's a lot of fake people out there trying to make a quick buck. That's the reality. And so the two things that you can do for yourself is, number one, do your research. If you know someone who's seen somebody, or if there's somebody that you know of that can recommend somebody, but even still, read reviews online or get in touch with this person and have a conversation first and make sure that it feels good. Because the second thing that you can do is trust yourself. If it doesn't feel right, it's probably not. But if you feel good about it, then it's probably a good thing to do. So just do your research and trust yourself.
Just so much happening in the world, and, like, everyone loves to compare, loves to complain about what other people's beliefs are. And I feel like when you are exploring the spirituality purpose, this practice, and your own belief system, is that most of the time you are alone. And like a lot of people don't like to be alone or with just themselves. Because a lot of times you were mentioning how you went on walks or how you do things that helped you. And I think the difficulty of this subject is that people cannot be alone. They're not very.
Yes. That sense of belonging that religion brings. There's a real fear of being alone, and I know it well because it is a fear that I have had. But what I don't understand is, now that I'm on the other side of it, is what are you afraid of? Are you afraid of not being accepted for who you are? Because you're never alone. When it comes to spirituality, you're never actually truly alone because you've got your spirit, you've got the universe, you've got whatever it is that you believe in. You're never truly by yourself. So it's interesting because I understand the fear of being alone. I, like I said, I know it well. We're well acquainted, me and that fear. But at the same time, as you go further in, you go, like for me, I love hiking and I'm in the mountains and I'm, you know, looking around me, and it is just such peace and beauty that you find. I think a lot of people also live in chaos, right? Or I grew up in a big family, so being on my own was very uncomfortable because it wasn't something I had experienced. I didn't have a peaceful upbringing. I didn't have parents who were advocating for, you know, take time for yourself and just sit with yourself. But that's when the answers come, is when you're alone and when you're with yourself. That's when you are able to really tap into, okay, well, what do I want? What do I like? What do I want to do with myself? What do I believe in? What makes sense for me when I'm not being told by five different people what I should be doing? So that fear of being alone is, it's crippling, and I understand, but it's the only way to move through it is to just let it happen, because you're never truly alone. You never are.
Do you believe that when you are on your journey, that is actually an enlightenment period of your life when you turn over that new leaf, like as I like to call it? Is it enlightenment or is it just you becoming greater than what you were before?
Enlightenment.
Enlightenment as in feeling lighter, things are just light for you, but is it just enlightenment of you being more knowledgeable when you jump over that leaf or turn over that new leaf of not being so fearful? Or is it just you taking what you know and learning from what you have experienced and just becoming more intuitive within yourself?
I think it's a mix of all of it. It really is. There is a period where you go through when you are like, you open your eyes and you're like, how have I not seen this for my whole life? And then you think about the people who haven't seen it and you're like, oh my God, now that I can, I would never want to go back to being the other way. It's almost like being colorblind and you see color for the first time, and it's, you know, it's vibrant, it's bright, and you think, how did I ever not see the beautiful green grass before, or the blue sky, you know? So yeah, I think there's a period of all of it, because you do, like, some people will hit that moment of enlightenment. I've heard of it, but for me, it was very much a slow burn, and it was educating myself. And the more that I learned, the more I was like, oh, this feels right. Like, this works for me. I like this. I like how I feel. I like the concepts. It really works. So it's accumulation. And for some people, I don't think it hits any one person the same way that it hits somebody else, but I do know that for a lot of people that I know of, it's a lot of education we go through when we take those baby steps by introducing small things into our world at first. Like, I very much got started with Rhonda Byrne, who did The Secret and the magic and all of that. So as I kind of explored that more, I was like, okay, this feels good. Okay, that feels good. And then one thing led to another. Then you kind of hit that period of enlightenment where you're like, okay, I've got all this knowledge and it's coming together for me now and it works. Then you've got other people. There's an author, her name is Anita Murjani, and she had a near-death experience, and that was her moment of enlightenment. So it wasn't necessarily accumulation of all of these things that had happened. It was a specific moment for her. So it kind of depends, I guess, on what you expose yourself to.
That is true. And just one more topic before we like summarize and round everything up is that I wanted just to touch on it because this is a whole nother conversation, but I think it's important because it's happening more and more now in our world, is that people create miracle juices or like these magic pills that definitely would be like, oh, you're going to have enlightenment, or it's going to cure AIDS or HIV and all of that stuff. And I just truly just want your opinion on how is it damaging for people who practice spirituality? And also, is there some truth to this magic pill or magic juice that are being created and being monetized as well?
I think that whatever you believe to be true is what's true. And the reason why I say that is because you've even got medical studies where you've got people who are taking a drug, you've got people who are taking a placebo. Those people don't know which drug they're having. They don't know if they're getting the drug or the placebo. But when the people who are taking the placebo believe they're getting the drug, you do see turnaround in some of those. You can't deny that. So that's medically proven, that's scientifically proven. So I think that if the power of our mind is so strong. So if you believe that, let's say you've got cancer, you're dying. If you believe that you can beat it, if you do everything that you can to get better and you believe at the core of your soul that you can beat it, the chances of you beating it are higher because you're giving yourself a fighting chance. You're not sitting in those emotions that are going to keep you in a lower vibration. You're bringing yourself up. You're giving yourself a fighting chance along with, medicine or spiritual modalities or whatever it is you believe in. But I think that people who advocate for some of these spiritual juices or magical pills, I'm sure that they truly believe them. And I'm sure that at some point, not all, but I'm sure that a lot of them have had results, but that's because that's what they believed in. And I think that if that's what you believe as an individual, then that is likely what'll work for you if it resonates for you and if it feels good. It does put a negative connotation on things for sure. Like even a friend of mine makes crystal water. So she puts certain crystals in water and drinks it because it's said to bring certain things to you or heal you in some way or whatever. And she believes that, and that's awesome. And it works for her. And she feels better when she does it. So, who am I to tell her she's wrong? Who are you to tell her she's wrong? She feels better. So, that's what works for her. It's not something that I know enough about. It's not something that I've dabbled in personally. So, I don't know. I don't, you know what I mean? I take a different approach to it. So, I know that's kind of like a long-winded dancing around it, but that's kind of what that's what my thought is on it is if you believe, then it's likely to happen, right? Kind of like the kid in the Polar Express, where if you don't believe in Santa, you're not going to hear the bell ring. You've got to believe.
I definitely agree. Well, I just want to say thank you so much for being a part of Spirit Bound, giving us insight on
Absolutely.
your journey and sharing knowledge about being a spiritualist and really being on a spiritual path. And I hope to everyone that is listening that they can find their own ways and to understand that, when we believe in superstition or traditions, they're stemmed from somewhere, and everything has stemmed from spirituality practices and has been created in their own way. So whether you like it or not, you also are spiritual.
I totally agree. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. It's been awesome.
Alrighty, thank you. Amanda Blair, you have helped complete our Spirit Bound Season 1 journeys, and thank you for giving us insight into your spiritual journey, as well as helping all of us to find what works for us. To my Spirit Bound tribe, near and far, thank you for tuning in, and we will return for Season 2. But until then, keep healing, keep learning, and always forge your own path. Thanks for listening to this episode of Spirit Bound. I cannot wait to continue this journey with you all as we dig deeper into spiritual exploration. To stay updated with the latest Spirit Bound episodes or to learn more, please follow Spirit Bound Podcast on Instagram and Spirit Bound Podcast on Facebook. Spirit Bound is produced and presented by Kiari Page and supported by Transmission Run House. With special thanks to TR leaders Tom and Marnie and to all my supporters near and far.